This morning's scripture reading is coming from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 15 through 24. I invite you to listen for any words or phrases that particularly speak to you or speak to you for our church. And we'll invite you to share those in a moment. Do note, I forget often to remind you that there are sermon notes that can help walk you through the sermon and perhaps ask a question to make you think. Let us listen now for the Word of God. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. May God bless our hearing and our understanding. I do not cease to give thanks for you. Were there any words or phrases that stood out for you this morning? Joanne? His immeasurable grace. Greatness. Yep. Thank you. Any others? And Paul gives thanks for them. And today, Paul and myself give thanks for you. And now, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. As we begin this new year, I wonder, are you looking ahead with excitement and positive anticipation of what blessings and opportunities are coming? Or are you looking ahead with fear and trepidation, wondering what calamity might be heading your way this year to ruin your life? Most of us are probably somewhere between these two views of the future, anticipating some possibilities, dreading some of the possible setbacks along the way. I wonder, though, what is God looking forward to in your new year? Couple of questions, a chat question. What do you think or hope God is looking forward to in 2025? What do you think God is looking forward to in this new year? Pam? Less violence. I sure think God is looking forward to that. More hearts to turn towards God. Yes. more trust, even than those of us that already trust in God, may we trust more. Yeah. Yes, Sue. More kindness. That is an important word in our world. Kindness. We need more of that. Yeah. Well, we go right into a poll question today. The two words I've thrown out there, hope or dread. How many feel more hopeful for possibilities? How many feel more dread of whatever? How many are in between somewhere? Yeah. We often think that we have so much to fear in today's world. But when the Apostle Paul sought to encourage and strengthen the church people under his care back in the first century, they too had some significant issues to face and to fear. They surely had many of the same fears that we do today. But as Christians, living in an oppressive Roman authoritative culture, there was the added fear of persecution. Paul wrote to the Corinthians of his own experiences along that way, saying, "I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers." And he's not done. "I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches." Paul was concerned for the churches more than himself, despite all his persecutions. So don't think that keeping a church going was any easier in Paul's day. Besides the threats from the outside forces, there were the challenges from within. The Corinthian church had fallen into a series of serious moral errors to the point where there was little that distinguished the Christians from the non-Christians, especially when it came to divisions between the rich and the poor, the in-crowd and the outcasts. Much like today. The Galatian church was divided because of Jewish Christians demanding a return to the Jewish law, including circumcision and dietary rules. The Philippian church also suffered from division, particularly some who were opposed to Paul's teachings. And our scripture today, from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, seems to address another division between the Jewish believers and Gentile believers, but is trying to encourage those Gentile believers that they are not second-class Christians. So today, or 2,000 years ago, there was a plethora of dangers and concerns for Christians and for the church. And Paul wrote with much advice to the churches about how to deal with this plethora. I do like the word plethora. Anyone else? In today's scripture, addressed to the Philippians, I picture Paul looking forward, perhaps to a new year, as we are. All these dangers and concerns from outside and from inside the church were surely swirling around in Paul's mind. He was surely wrestling with how fearful he was for the future of the church and how excited he was for the with positive anticipation for the blessings and opportunities that were coming. He seemed to be leaning toward the positive anticipation as we read his words, "I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Still, as Paul considered his prayers for the church in Ephesus, there were many concerns for him to consider. Practical concerns for safety, courage, wisdom, for unity, prosperity, success. And that's what many would pray for today. We have many preachers who tell us that we only have to believe in God and we will receive all the materialistic blessings, that God promises financial success and prosperity to his faithful people. Well, each week we list our concerns to be prayed for, our joys too. And we pray for health and healing, for safe travels, for grandchildren. We often pray for our nation's leaders or our soldiers and police officers in harm's way. We pray for unbelievers and new believers, children and youth to grow in faith. We pray for our world, for peace, justice, understanding between nations and peoples. We pray for our congregation, for unity, for purpose and direction, for new life and energy. But when Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus, and in his prayers for all the churches, these obvious concerns were absent in his requests to God. Even Jesus instructed the disciples to pray for their daily bread. In other words, for the necessities for today. But nowhere in the scripture do we see Paul pray for these things, except one necessity. Perhaps Paul was thinking that there's a silver bullet, so to speak. If he would just pray for this one necessity, then God would provide everything else. Kind of like those TV evangelists. But unlike them, Paul doesn't even hint that his prayers for the church would lead to any material rewards or provide security from all those bad things in a world. You know, Paul doesn't even seem to consider the circumstances going on outside or inside the churches when he prays for them. He prays for just one necessity. Come on, Paul. It's a new year and a new beginning. Pray for something good. Ask God for something that will strengthen our church. Pray for something that will save our world, beginning in our own neighborhood. Pray for growth, security, even just enough to get through this year. Come on, Paul. And Paul kneels. I might get on my knees, except I'm getting old too. Paul kneels before God and offers up this prayer for the church, for our church. He says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." So that you may know him better. Is that it, Paul? Your prayer is that we might know God better. With all the needs and concerns in the world and in the church, Paul simply prays for us to know God better. So, he says, "The eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you." To know God better is Paul's prayer for First Christian Church. To have a vivid sense of God's presence in this new year. To know that God is with us and shares every step every second of every day. That is Paul's prayer, and that is my prayer too, for you, for us. To know God is more critical than any particular blessing, any promise of safety or security. To know God is our blessing that sustains us through any trial, any suffering, any failure. To know God is our security, our hope that we'll never be alone, our reminder that all we have comes from God and not from ourselves. To know God is the answer to every question and every life circumstance. From the darkest valley to the highest mountaintop, to know God through reading scripture, study, prayer, meditation, experiencing God's beauty in art and nature, serving others, worshiping, loving others, loving ourselves too. Do you know God? Do you just know of God or about God? What in your New Year's resolution will you do to know God better? Read through the Bible. Join the Lenten study this year. Serve your church, your community around us. Take walks with God. Pray. Read a daily devotional. Sharon has been doing some, where is she now? Back there. She's been doing some work this week, helping me to put together a new Bible list that is in bigger print. That was Sharon's idea. If you want to join myself and others in reading through the Bible every day, it's a list that kind of works chronologically through the Bible so that you get a better sense of the overall story of God's actions in our world from the beginning of Genesis to today. It's very helpful. Also, she's listed some links that you can look up on your computer for some daily devotionals. And if you don't want to read the Bible, there's several sources you can listen to the Bible. And that's kind of a handy thing at times and a good change of pace. So lots of possibilities, but it's not about what you do. It's about doing what works best for you to be present with God and to listen, to read, to come to a better understanding of who God is and to connect with God to where you know God better personally, just one-on-one. That's what my prayer is for you in 2025, to get to know God better in 2025. That is Paul's prayer for you too, for all of us. And really, that's what God's kingdom on earth that we prayed for this morning is all about. It's not a place. It's a way of living where there is room for all to be accepted, for all to be loved and forgiven, where everyone is welcome to come and know God and to find new life in 2025. Our take-home question, what can we do as First Christian Church to help each other to know God better? And then those outside of our church as well. Will you join me in prayer? Strong and loving God, we lean on you as we begin this new year. There are many fears and uncertainties just swirling all around us. But there is certainty. We know you are with us. We know we can trust you We know that you can, that you will guide our steps, our thoughts, our words, if we will just put our trust in you. So we pray that you'd walk with us each step of each day, and that you would help us to find ways to introduce others to you and to know that hope and that joy that comes from walking with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.